Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 36 of the Attacking the Championship podcast. My name is Tom Butterfield. I'm your host. And let me welcome our resident guest, as always. He's a certified data analyst. He's a scout and FA licensed coach and intermediary, David Bromley. How are you, David?
I'm all right, Tom. I'm doing quite well, thanks. But I'm still looking at your backdrop with all the sunshine and the flowers out and everything. And I'm still slightly jealous, I've got to say.
It was very much unexpected. We shouldn't be here anymore, to be honest with you. We had a little bit of a change to our plans. We had a little bit of illness through the camp, which meant we had to change our travel plans. So we weren't enjoying the sunshine quite so much for the last couple of days. But we're back to full fitness now, and I think we'll be ready to travel back tomorrow.
Well, I suppose that's bittersweet, isn't it, really? I mean, you're feeling better, but then you've got to come back to going to land, is it?
Exactly. No, I think it's going to be a solidly under 10 degrees, I think, when we get back. Mm. So it's going to be a bit of a culture shock, but never mind. Never mind. Every good thing's got to end at some point, right?
That's how it goes.
So, interesting weekend last weekend.
Wasn't it?
Now, the championship was interesting, but of course, probably the biggest football story, I think, of the weekend was the FA Cup semi-final, wasn't it?
It was a terrific, terrific game and a terrific advert for the championship. And I'm sure everybody's sort of saying the same thing, really. But it does show you, doesn't it, that on their day, these clubs and Coventry, you know, respect to them for terrific performance. You know, they're not having it all their own way in the league, are they? But they produced that performance that really, I think, deserved more than they got. But, you know, it's the way it goes in cup
totally
competitions.
Agree. Totally agree. I mean, I was, because of where we are, we couldn't get access to the live feed or anything. So I was just sort of keeping updated on the BBC Sport app and just having a look at it. And it was 3-0 relatively quickly. And I was like, that's a shame. You know, a shame for the Coventry fans, you know, to be there and it almost be done straight away. But I when that first goal went in, I thought, do you know what? It's not the first time. It wouldn't be the first time that Man United have blown a lead this season. And then that second goal went in and it was like, oh, hello.
It started to change, didn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone remembers much at all about the first hour, do they?
Not really.
Even if it wasn't, as you say, it was sort of going the way that, not necessarily the form book, but that you would have probably predicted. It looked like it was going to peter out. But yeah what a terrific comeback. And really sickening, wasn't it, with that disallowed goal. Absolutely. And our man, Victor.
Victor Torp. We unearthed him when he was back at Sarpsborg, didn't we? Many, many months
Absolutely.
Ago. When we were talking about, I think, replacements for maybe for Joe Bellingham or something like that. I think it was a midfielder.
I think it was, yeah.
But we picked him out. He was in our top 10 players there that we picked out for the initial scouting process, wasn't it, for the technical scouting. And then he was signed by Coventry about 2 or 3 weeks later, wasn't he, in the January window. And he's proven to be a very useful addition.
I think he has. And I think he was, I was delighted for him when that one went in. And nothing against Man United. I've got nothing against them. But it was one of those games. It was all about momentum, wasn't it?
And it really was.
You could just see that coming, couldn't you, the fourth goal?
Yeah.
And you thought it was over. But then after that and the disappointment of the disallowing it, often that sort of kills the momentum.
Yeah,
but they had a go. They hit the bar. I think Ellis Sims hit the bar in extra time, didn't he?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And I know Man United hit the bar as well, so it was a bit sort of to and fro.
Yeah.
But it was a sickener for them, really, in many ways, but brilliant advert for the championship.
Definitely. And maybe not such a great advert. We talked a little bit about VAR last time, didn't we? VAR was supposed to be to detect any clear and obvious errors. And I think when you start slowing something down to that point and you've got to spend so much time looking to see if somebody should have cut their toenails in the morning, you know, that makes them offside or not.
Yeah.
I think really you should just go with the on-field decision. I think slowing it down to that point, it just becomes a bit of a farce. And I've And I couldn't tell if he was onside or offside, to be honest with you. I mean, maybe he's quarter of an inch. But yeah, I thought it was really, really unlucky. And I don't think VAR has to be that good. I think we just have to get rid of all the glaring obvious issues and just let the game flow and things move on. Otherwise it just ends up being the farce that it is currently.
Well, I agree. And I think we, as you say, we did touch on it, didn't we, before, and broadly agreed on how we thought it would be best used. Mm-hmm. And this wasn't one of those situations, was it,
where you think
you need it? I don't know about the technicalities in their little, wherever it is, lorry or porter cabin or wherever they mm-hmm. run it from for that game. Do they have the precision that they would have needed to be absolutely certain? I'm not sure. Yeah. I mean, just for example, you know, exactly when the ball was played forward. Well, perhaps they do. And I mean, all you could see on the screen was a line that was just too thick to really draw any firm conclusions from. But hopefully sooner rather than later, it will get to the point where they can sort of use it for all the best that it can offer.
Absolutely.
But that wasn't one of them, I didn't think.
No, I mean, and again, going to another exciting game this week with Middlesbrough and Leeds. I mean, the Leeds goal was more offside, wasn't it?
Very much more, wasn't it?
That was obvious. Yeah. I mean, that was a clear one. And that one you could probably play through at normal speed and say, yeah, he's offside there. So you could probably give that one. But
well, that's a good point, isn't it? It's a good point because that was a content. That was an incident where, yes, you would have benefited from having some technology to just put that right. Because, Nonto, wasn't it? I think he was probably a yard offside.
Yeah.
I think that would have been. And I think that the linesman or the assistant referee was probably, there was a player in his way. So he couldn't look down the line and see for certain.
No.
So, yeah, I think that's a good example of one that would make much more sense if you did have. Because obviously there have been lots of situations this year in the Championship that we've been focusing on where clear and obvious errors have been made.
Yeah.
And they would have been significant. And a VAR setup would have been beneficial to correct those, wouldn't it?
Absolutely.
So it's not all bad. It's just a question of how you use it.
Yeah, I think so. And it's still very, you think of how old football is and how long football's been going for and how long VAR's been there. It's still very much in its infancy, isn't it? And you hope that it's still very much in development. And I know there's lots of calls for it to be discarded and disbanded, but I don't think you can do that.
No.
I think you've just got to give it time and allow people to develop it and improve it because it is a good idea. It's just not being executed very well at the moment.
That's true. No, I agree with you. Absolutely. Oh, well,
that's a rant over anyway. But yeah, that was a great game. But the Championship games last week, David, did any stand out for you in particular?
I mean, yes, a lot of them did. I did that silly little sort of random prediction again, didn't I?
Yeah, I'm interested to see how this is going because we're trying to anyone who wasn't tuned in last week or the week before, we're kind of trying to develop this algorithm, aren't we? And I say we, it's you.
We're having a little go at it.
And you came up with a really interesting stat that even if you just randomly generate results for the Championship for the last 5 or 6 seasons, it got it right between 18% to 20% of the time, didn't it?
It got it right in the sense that it got the result right rather than the score, obviously.
Yeah. So
it got whether it was going to be a home win or an away win or a draw. And they weren't completely random, just to sort of just to clarify things. It was we took into account home versus away, so we took that into account, and we did take into account some strength modifiers as well. So we took into account if the team in question was in the highest strength group or the lowest strength group, that made a difference. But within the scope of that, we just randomly generated the scores rather than try to predict the actual scores. And there were some surprises. I suppose the first thing to say is it did better than my attempt last week. And it came out with 21%, which was, I think, 1% behind your effort last week, wasn't it?
I think it might have been, yeah.
So it was pretty close to that. And actually, it was in line with when we ran the whole thing over the last five seasons. It was in line with that. So it was, yeah. But there were some surprises from the
Cardiff
weekend.
Cardiff getting a win over Southampton was a bit of a shock, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. Southampton, I mean, we're now Wednesday afternoon, so we've had the benefit of last night's game.
Yeah.
The Southampton game last night, you know, or the Leicester-Southampton 5-0 thrashing.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
You know, what's happened to Southampton in the last couple of games?
They're such a strange team. Do you remember we were talking about the teams in the playoffs, and we were saying, yeah, you've got that top three or four, and Southampton looked very, very strong, pretty much, you know, weren't going to move out of fourth place. And we felt that at their best, they could probably be the best team in the league. But there seems to be such a variation in their form, doesn't there? You know, they can be fantastic, but then you get games like the last two where they get beat 5-0 and then 2-1 away as well. So
yeah,
you really have to worry about that, don't you?
Well, the last game, I mean, last night's game at Leicester, they had 66% possession and they didn't have a shot on target.
That's crazy, isn't it?
And they lost 5-0.
It's unbelievable.
You know, so if you just looked at the stats, some of the stats, mm-hmm. you know, you'd think, well, it would have been, well, I don't know what you'd make of it. How do you have 66% possession but not a shot on target?
Yeah.
I know some of that, again, we always have to point this out, it's to do with game state, what they call game state, which is, you know, if your opponent goes ahead, mm-hmm. they approach the game differently to the way they approached it when it kicked off, or if they went behind. And obviously with Leicester going ahead and then with the second goal, they would have been less concerned about the possession because they didn't need to worry about it. All they needed to worry about was making sure they didn't concede. And then they've got the players to hit on the break. And did they ever do that?
Yeah, they smashed them, didn't they?
And then you could look at the game on Middlesbrough-Leeds? Was that Monday
That was
night?
On the Monday night. Yeah,
that was Monday,
right.
Monday night. And again, you know, look at that game. The Middlesbrough 3-4. Oh, it was a terrific game to watch. Mm. Leeds were, I thought, you know, they were quite happy, really, to let Middlesbrough have the ball.
Yeah.
For a team right up there, they were quite happy to let them have the ball.
Absolutely.
They're so dangerous on the break.
Yeah. They've got some really incisive, destructive forward players, haven't they?
Absolutely. I mean, obviously, our friend Somerville, mm-hmm. We've talked about a lot.
Yeah.
Nonto, of course.
Yeah.
And then they brought Dan James off the bench, didn't they?
Yeah, yeah,
did. And Pirro off the bench. I mean, it's a pretty strong bench.
And you got Bamford as well.
Bamford there.
I mean, attacking Ritter, players are just embarrassing riches.
They were just so powerful going forward that, you know, you could see. I mean, I couldn't have called the result. I mean, it was, you know, it was, as Paul Merson would say, you have a shot, we have a shot. You know, but it was a great game for a neutral to watch. But yeah, so that was another one. But the games at the weekend, you know, Sunderland losing at home to Millwall, we'll probably come on and talk a bit more about that later
sure.
on. And that makes Millwall safe, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Plymouth,
yeah, they're
unfortunately,
solid now.
For them, losing 3-0 at Stoke. Mm. Stoke have hit, you know, Stoke are a funny team, aren't they? Because on their day, they're looking actually very strong.
Yeah.
I think. And they look like they're, but we keep saying this, but they look like they're getting things together.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a, you know, pretty emphatic win.
It was the last time I saw Stoke was they're at home to West Brom. Ended up they came back well from 2-0 down, but they could have easily been 4-0 up in that game at half time. You know, they did look really, you know, really giving West Brom some problems. So it's not a surprise to see them doing well, but it is a surprise that when they can play that well, that they're down where they are.
I don't know. I mean, if you talk to a Stoke fan, they'll be saying exactly the same thing, amongst a number of other things, I'm sure. But they just don't know which Stoke's going to turn up, do they?
No. It's just up and down all over the place, isn't it?
Yeah. Huddersfield got torn apart at home by a team that we've talked about as being on the beach.
That's it, yeah.
4-0 by Swansea. So, again, you know, Swansea are a team that I think if you, and we'll probably do this later on, but if you look ahead at the games they've got left, I'm not sure I'd be wanting to play Swansea because I think they've won their last three.
Mm-hmm.
And I seem to be able to remember them doing this to teams in previous seasons where, you know, they've not been in danger of going down. They've not been able to push into the playoffs, but they just keep upsetting everybody.
I think last season they had a real big shift in form, didn't they? Second half of the season, they were around the sort of the bottom quarter of the league. And then all of a sudden they're actually in the playoff picture at the end of the season when they played West Brom in the last game of the season and they got another win there. And I think they finished in seventh or eighth position or something around there anyway. Mm. But no, they can really go on strong runs, can't they? Real strong runs of form.
They can, and they seem to do well. You know, we've talked about this in a previous episode when we were talking about whether it was a myth that teams that don't have anything to play for are easy to roll over. But they're the opposite of that, I think. They're a team that when the shackles are off and they don't any longer have any pressure to perform, they seem to come out of themselves and, you know, they can do what they did.
Exactly.
You know, they went to Huddersfield, who could absolutely do without that, and just, you know, a 4-0 win, just that's pure championship for you
in a nutshell, isn't it, really?
I mean, out of interest, my algorithm had Huddersfield down as 3-1 winners in that game. But there you go,
close.
But Blackburn 1, Sheffield Wednesday 3.
Mm-hmm.
Another massive game, that.
Yeah.
And I didn't really, you know, I didn't see that one coming.
No. No, that was, and I think the Blackburn goalkeeper had a little hand in that, didn't he?
I think he did have a hand in it. Yeah. I mean, I watched that over and over.
Poor fella. Jeez.
And I normally in those situations, I mean, there's a back pass and he's under no pressure and he tries to kick clear it first time. But normally, when you watch it closely, you can see what happened. It takes a bobble or something. It didn't seem to take a bobble. It just seemed to take his eye off it.
Yeah. And the weird thing is once he'd scuffed it, he had a chance just to sort of knock it with his hand, didn't he? And
he looked like that, didn't it?
He seemed to panic and then almost like, oh, no, I can't pick it up. It's like, well, you can't let it go in the goal either, mate.
Yeah,
so
I know.
You're better off to concede a free kick than what you did.
I suppose, you know,
it was bizarre.
You don't think straight, do you? I mean, you just do what you do in that situation. But it did look like he could have picked it up, really. But yeah,
a lot of things could have happened, but not what happened.
Not what happened. No, well, it'd be a goalkeeper, really.
Oh, but, man, no, poor fella. Then you stay with him for a while.
It will. And then you got Leicester 2, West Brom 1.
Yes.
And I thought West Brom was so strong in that game.
They looked good.
I thought they created, well, you could probably look at the stats, but they created a lot of chances and, you know, pushed Leicester back. And I know, again, you know, Leicester had gone ahead, so you can claim that, well, yeah, but Leicester knew what they were doing. I don't think they did, really.
No.
When Vardy missed the penalty, which would have given them a bit of daylight, then it was all West Brom after that. And really, I think they had at least four good chances to score and another couple that, you know, on another day would have gone in.
Yeah, so, Hamza Chowdhury could probably get a job as the Blackburn goalkeeper, couldn't he? He made a couple of good goal line saves.
He did, absolutely, he did. Yeah, he was. I mean, we had one of those games, didn't he? Really, where everything he did was just going to come off.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, I mean, West Brom. You know, Mikey, I thought the three front players on the day, Johnston, Wallace, and Dean Garner, were all very good.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good
blend there, you know, isn't it? It's a good mix of creativity and work rate and pace and a bit of directness from Johnson as well. I think he gives him that little bit of...
They don't know what to do with him, do they?
No. He doesn't seem to be playing with any fear. Like you said about Swansea, you know, the shackles seem to be off for him. It's like a free hit, I suppose.
Yeah.
And he's just doing what he's feeling and it's working well for him.
It is. And Dean Garner has been sort of a little bit hot and cold. He's got unbelievable skill. He can wriggle out of situations you can't believe he would get out of. And he was on good form. And Jed Wallace, you know, played that role again, that centre forward role.
Yeah.
And I thought he played it terrifically well. Mm-hmm. And the goal was a brilliant goal and a lovely pass from Kipre.
Yeah.
So there was some good stuff in that game.
He seems to have really grown into that role as the season's gone on. I think he's making a lot more runs that I think you'd expect a centre forward to make. And whether that's because he's getting better service, but I think the pleasing thing for me, like, used to play as a centre forward, not at that level, is I always think that the first man in the box should make a run to the near post. I always feel that's the responsibility of that person to get there. Mm. And he seems to be making that run a lot more now, and he's actually got a few goals off the back of it as well. So he's grown well into it. Cause it's not easy, you know, when you're such a good deliverer of the ball, it's like he's the guy who's going to put things on a plate for centre forwards. To all of a sudden, you've got to be on the end of stuff. That's not an easy adjustment to make, is it?
It's a very different role to play, isn't it?
Mm. Yeah,
and you know what you're going to get. You know you're going to get tireless running. And willingness and all those things, which you've got to have as a centre forward, haven't you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a very different role, but they were good. They were good on the day, and I think it was those three really that you know they deserved a point at least. I thought from that, but you don't get what you deserve, do you? You get what you take.
No, not always. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, exactly.
So Norwich drawing at home with Bristol City, they would have felt. That was a bit of a disappointment. Bristol City are another one, I think, aren't they? They've come on strong since the sort of pressure's lifted off them in the sense that they can't really go anywhere. They've had some good results as well. And, Norwich would have felt, I think, that was one they would have expected or felt they could have got 3 points from.
Would have been a massive win for them as well, wouldn't it? Because they would have gone into fifth place.
Yeah, I mean, and as we record, it's Wednesday afternoon, so tonight is Coventry and Hull. Yeah, it's at Coventry, isn't it?
Yeah. It's interesting, actually, because I've noticed with the fixtures, because of Coventry's FA Cup run, you've got Leeds will have played their 44th and 45th games before Ipswich play their next game.
So yeah, they will.
They could really, really put the pressure on Ipswich, couldn't they?
Absolutely, yeah.
You know, I mean, fair enough. They've all got to play the same amount of games. But when you're sitting there with the points in the bag, and you may be 5 or 6 points ahead with 3 games to go.
Yeah,
it's a change in mentality, isn't it?
Definitely. And it's I don't know. You know, you tend to think, well, you'd like to have the points in the bag, wouldn't you? For sure. If it's 3 points.
Yes.
But you know, if it's one, then
you want to have the game back, don't you?
You'd rather say no. I'd rather keep my cards close to my chest.
Exactly. But, so you've got Coventry playing tonight against Hull, which is a big
playoff game, isn't it?
I
think, yeah, so either one of those two can catch Norwich and West Brom.
That's right.
If they win all of their games.
Yes.
But if one of them wins tonight, that obviously does for the other.
Yes.
And if it's a draw, it doesn't really help either. I think then they've really got to hope everything goes their way then.
Yeah, they could both, Hull and Coventry, if they get maximum points, they could get to 75. And, of course, they can't both get there because they're playing each other.
Yeah.
So if they draw tonight, the most they can get is 73 with certainly inferior goal differences to West Brom on plus 23 and Hull are on plus 8 and Coventry plus 14. So, yeah, really, both teams have got to go for the win tonight, haven't they? They can't be just going for the draw.
No, somebody needs to win that. Which, you know, ordinarily you might say makes for a potentially good game, but, you know, who knows?
Who knows? Yeah, exactly.
In this division, you don't know, do you?
And it's a big, I heard interview with Pep Guardiola after their semi-final, the other game that happened. Everyone's forgotten about
already. That one. I don't remember that one.
and he was saying, you know, with the fixture congestion and what have you, you know, having played such a big game against Real Madrid in the midweek and then playing this game against Chelsea, And he spoke about not just the physical demands, but also the emotional demand as well of going into a game like that, you know, such big stakes, putting everything into it. And of course, then the disappointment, and then you've got maybe one or two days of recovery until you're back into that again. And you wonder whether Coventry will be able to go from such a big occasion to going again, being as you look at it and you say, well, it's unlikely for them to get playoffs, isn't it?
So they wouldn't be the favourite, would they?
No, they wouldn't. But are they going to see it as a, you know, difficult to get themselves down, or come on, you know, let's try and salvage something from the season and really push on? It's
hard to say, isn't it? As you say, are they going to be so emotionally spent that they won't? But then it's a massive prize to pick yourself up for. If you've got half a chance to say, look, you know, this is really what's important, you know, to all of us. Mm-hmm. So if all the time you've got a chance, and it's more than a complete outside shot. It could look very different if, you know, they were to get the win they want, and then things go a certain way at the weekend. All of a sudden, it starts to look a bit different, doesn't it? And the same at the top and the bottom of this division.
For sure. I mean, you look at that. Norwich have got the team that you wouldn't want to face in Swansea, and West Brom are away to Sheffield Wednesday, who need a win. Now they need the win. So that's two teams. West Brom would probably be okay with nicking a draw in that one, but they would prefer the win. Yeah. But Sheffield Wednesday have to win. They've got to win that game. And I don't know, in those games, you know, Sheffield Wednesday aren't in terrible form.
No.
It's probably going to be closer than you would have thought it would be back in mid-season. That's for sure. It's a tricky game. There's a lot of emotion around that game, for sure.
There is, and you can make a case for it, whatever you want to make a case for, can't you?
Yeah. Yeah,
and partly because it's the championship, and there's always that chance, but also because most of the teams still, remarkably, after 44 games, have still got something that, you know, they're playing for, or a lot of the teams still have. So that's brilliant for us.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, that's exactly what you want.
Shall we have a look at the upcoming games then?
Yeah, let's
see if we can. Let's see how your algorithm gets on.
I'm really looking for, I didn't do anything for this. I thought, listen, no one wants to hear the results of this stupid algorithm. I might run it, and then if it does well, I might mention it next week.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Just anyway, let us know the weeks where it does well.
Yeah, let's see what happens first. I promise I won't cheat.
I think it will be good though, because like we said, these things take time. And it's not a 2 week thing. So it's a thing that perhaps we can have a look at. Maybe even the off season, you can do some retrospective things and see what things do matter and what things don't matter and what have you, and come out with 21% again.
That's what will happen. If I'm lucky, that is. Yeah.
So let's have a look.
Yeah. This, what we got?
We talked tonight. About Coventry Hull, didn't we?
We got tonight, Coventry Hull, massive game.
Yeah.
And then we've got, what is it?
Friday.
QPR Leeds. Yeah.
Which is another
massive game, because obviously they both want the points for their own reasons, don't they? Yeah. There. I mean,
a draw would probably get QPR across the line, wouldn't it?
I think so. Yeah.
But that wouldn't really be enough for Leeds, would it?
No, because Ipswich are not showing any signs of.
Yeah, they'd only be 2 points ahead of Ipswich, and Ipswich would have two games in hand, which would be quite big. So they need to win on Friday, don't they?
The only thing about Ipswich, of course, is, you know, is it a bit too much too quickly, these extra games? But because, I mean, it's nice to put your feet up for a couple of weeks, isn't it, or a week? Yeah. But then it's going to come on stream, so that you're going to be – you have to play the game, so I think Leeds, well, I don't know, they'll definitely be looking for a win there, because it is going to be, they won't want to be in the playoffs, will they? But
I don't actually think that any team would want to play them in the playoffs either. Now, we talked about their attacking players with likes of Nonto, Bamford, Somerville, Rutter, Pirro.
James
as well. Yeah, exactly. Right. I mean, that's six guys. You could play any of those three, and they're probably better than the vast majority of teams in the Championship, aren't they?
Yeah. So, well, I don't know what will happen there, but it's going to be an interesting one. Then we got on Saturday, Blackburn and Coventry in action again, Coventry. Mm-hmm. So, again, Blackburn are, you know, they're very much still in the sort of the fight, aren't they?
Yeah.
Coventry, we don't know. I mean, if they were to win tonight, then they'll really, really need a win there. Yeah. And so will Blackburn. Well, they'll feel they do. So that's another massive game. Bristol City, Rotherham. There's nothing on that one.
Not really. Same with Cardiff, Middlesbrough. There's not really anything on that one, is there? No,
but there's a lot on the next one.
The next one is probably, I think, the game of the weekend.
Absolutely.
That's the one that I'll probably be tuning in to watch if I can, whether it be on radio or whatever. That's a huge one. How do you see that one going?
So Huddersfield, Birmingham. Ah, mate, I don't know. I just don't know, you know. So Huddersfield lost their last game at home 4-0, didn't they?
Yeah,
so,
exactly. And you've got Birmingham recently beat Coventry 3-0.
There's a cigarette paper between them.
Yeah,
I just don't know.
This is going to come down to who can deal with the occasion the best.
It is.
You know,
and
is
a little bit of luck, maybe, isn't it? Maybe a bit of luck, you know,
exactly.
Or bad luck that goes one way.
Yeah,
I think it's so tight, that one. You just, I don't think you could really come up with a reasoned argument. No. In favour of one or the other. I think it's just going to be one of those, you know, turn up and do your best. Then it's Millwall and Plymouth. Well, Millwall are safe now.
Yes.
Plymouth, we'd love, you know, we both have a bit of a soft spot for you particularly, I think.
Yeah,
but
for sure.
I'd like to see him get something with a point. A point would be a decent point.
It would. It would.
And I, you know, there's an argument.
Not a place you want to go, is it? You know, go at the den if you don't.
But there's an argument, I suppose, again, that, you know, well, Millwall, they've done their job now. If they'd but I don't know if that really holds.
No.
You know, because they'll have no pressure. They'll have less pressure on them. So they might just come out and play. And again, it's another tricky game there. I think if Plymouth could get a point there, their last game, Plymouth, is at home to Hull, who, again, depending on the result tonight, may not necessarily need anything, or they might need it. They might desperately need it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, tonight's game is a big swing for everything, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. So we'll know a little bit more after that. So, and then we got Norwich, Swansea. We touched on this earlier, didn't we? You know, Norwich probably, you know, on the face of it, it's looking like Norwich, West Brom and Norwich in the playoffs, but that's not by any means certain. And if it does turn out to be that, which one ends up fifth and which one ends up sixth? And that could be significant because, you know, whoever ends up fifth looking like playing Southampton, and then whoever ends up sixth, it could be Leeds, it could be Ipswich.
Yeah.
So, I mean, what about Norwich v Ipswich in semi-finals?
I mean, that's the thing, isn't it? Because you'd fancy Ipswich to beat most teams.
Yeah.
But they wouldn't necessarily fancy themselves to beat Norwich, would they? Because they haven't done that.
Not at Carrow Road, they wouldn't.
No,
exactly. Although if they're going to do it, that's the sort of game they end up doing it in.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
But I have no reason to say that other than
I mean, that's just a complete all bets are off, isn't it? You know, Norwich,
it is,
Ipswich,
really.
It's... start again. You can't read anything into that. It's just could be anyone's.
And can Swansea go to Norwich on Saturday and upset them? I could see it.
Yeah, I could as well. Norwich are still sketchy. I think they're a good side. I think they're a good side, a good attacking
on their
side.
Day, they're a very good side.
Yeah.
But you could say that about a lot of these teams, couldn't you?
Yeah, there's a lot of variance, isn't there? There's a lot of variance.
Sheffield Wednesday, West Brom.
Yeah, I mean, that's a
both teams,
huge
again,
one, isn't it?
You know, both teams, a bit like the QPR Leeds, really, isn't it? They both need something, or West Brom will feel they, you know, a point there they wouldn't be too disappointed with, would they, West Brom?
No.
Sheffield Wednesday, on the other hand, they really need a win, but...
It's not the team that Sheffield Wednesday would want to play, is it? I think especially if it's a draw tonight between Hull and Coventry, and West Brom know that a point pretty much puts both of those teams out of their reach.
Yes.
You could see West Brom, you know, really sort of sitting in and saying, right, okay, come on then, we know you need to win. This is almost perfect for us. You know, we've got three guys up here who can hit you on the break very, very quickly.
Yeah.
Whereas if they need the win, then maybe that opens the game up a little bit more. But the first goal, as we know, is extremely important. But I think in that game, for definite.
Yeah, I think you're right. That wouldn't add anything to that particularly. Southampton Stoke. Well, again, Stoke needs something, really, probably. They don't necessarily, but like QPR, just to feel a bit more comfortable, they would feel they'd need something. But Southampton, can they really? I don't know that it's going to make any difference to them.
I don't think
other
it
than,
is.
You know, from a league point position point of view. But
for them, they're sort of stuck in fourth, aren't they, really?
They are, really.
They're not really going to go anywhere. So, again, is this a chance where does the manager put out his full-strength team, or does he say, do you know what, guys, we're just going to get ourselves, you know, ready for the playoffs? But, risky.
Risky because I was talking to somebody earlier about this, actually, about a different game, but, you know, and they were saying, well, you've got to be strategic. And I think, yeah, I understand that. But it's also, you can be too clever for your own good, can't you, sometimes? Yeah. You know, oh, well, we'll take a point here. Mm-hmm. Well, you might wish you hadn't.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, and it's the sort of getting in out of the habit of winning games and out of that state of mind of, no, you know, we'll win. We want to win every time. So I don't know. Watford Sunderland, nothing on it really, but, you know, but a bit of pride and a bit of sort of looking to the next season maybe. Hull City, Ipswich, there's definitely something on it for Ipswich. Yeah. And there could be something on it for Hull, depending on tonight, couldn't there?
Yes. Yeah, it does. It does. Tonight does count for a lot for
Hull. Keeps coming up, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Preston, Leicester. Well, you know, Leicester are obviously going to want to get the job done, aren't they? I think if they win that, well, what is it? That gets them to 97, and Ipswich could get to 98, couldn't they, if they win all their last three?
Yes. Yeah, they could do. Yeah,
so, again, but they will know.
But that would put them, that would they put won't them out know. Of touch of
it's
Leeds.
It's like you said
it?
Earlier, though.
Ipswich play on the, so Leeds play on Friday. So we'll know what they're doing.
Yeah.
Ipswich aren't playing until the evening of Saturday.
Oh, that's right. They're playing on
Saturday evening away to Hull, and then Leicester play the next day, and then Ipswich have got to turn it around another
away
game.
Oh, yeah, they're in there twice, aren't they?
To Coventry, because of the semi-final run that Coventry had.
Oh, dear. So,
Coventry and Hull have got a huge sort of input in both ends of the table for the end of the season.
Yeah, exactly. Ipswich away at Hull on the Saturday and then away at Coventry on the, I was talking about the Monday. So, I don't know. I mean, it's just, well, what if this and what if that, isn't it? It's going to unravel. But it's brilliant. I mean, looking at it, it's so exciting.
Yeah, fantastic. It's going to be going to be very special. And coming off that, do you want to look at the last games of the season, or do you want to leave that until next week?
Well, I was just having a quick look at it, but I mean, I guess we've touched on it a little bit as we've been talking, haven't we? But what, I mean, the obvious, what are the big, I mean, there's,
you've
I
got
mean,
Birmingham could... Norwich, there is potentially a huge one for both teams.
Ipswich Huddersfield could be big.
Plymouth Hull could be big.
Yeah.
For both teams, Leicester Blackburn, depending, Leeds Southampton, could be bigger.
It'll be interesting.
Could be big for Leeds
that.
Rather
yeah.
than Southampton, really.
It could be. Yeah.
Ipswich Huddersfield, like you say, and Coventry QPR, depending on how other results go, I suppose, isn't it?
Yeah.
So there's a few. There's a few.
Well, we hoped it would be like this, didn't we? A few weeks ago, and it's definitely turned out. You know, we're wringing every last bit of interest and excitement from the fixture list that you could. Yeah.
And there's been plenty of it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, mate. Well, I think that brings to an end episode 36 of Attacking the Championship. How do you feel about that, David?
Yeah, I think it does, really. So all you've got to do is see if you can get yourself back home in one piece.
Yeah, that's it. Just got to fly out tomorrow. Make sure we can avoid illness and injury for another 24 hours and we'll be back in the good old UK. Thanks for joining us, everybody. And we'll see you next week when we attack the championship. Take care. Bye-bye.